I want to speak on a subject that I don't care too much about speaking about. I want to speak on the subject of hell. But you say, oh, Mr. Smith, I know all about that. Well, let's see if you do. Did you know that the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell when he was on this earth than he did heaven? I wonder why. I wonder why he put more emphasis on hell than he did on heaven. It's because he knew that men don't repent, they're going to go to hell. And God never intended for man to go to hell in the beginning. Now in the book of Luke, we have a true story. I know some scholars want to say that it is a parable. But let's say they are right. I don't believe it's a parable, but let's say if it is a parable. If it's a parable of what the real is, then what must be the real thing? If this is a description of hell, and this is not the actual story about hell, then what must hell be itself? The real thing. So, we win anyway, whichever way you want to take it. But I believe it's a true story of two men who actually lived and died. They were buried, their bodies. One went to paradise and one went to the torment side of Hades. Now, I want to just mention a few questions that's in the minds of people about this place and about this subject. First one, is there a hell? Did you know a lot of people don't believe there is one? Some people say there is no hell. They say the only hell there is right here on earth. Then another question is, if there is a hell, where is it? Where is hell? If there is one, they say. And then another question is there real fire in hell? These are good scriptural and biblical questions, and we got the biblical answers, Bible answers. Then another question is, why do men go to torment now and later be raised and judged and then be cast into the lake of fire alive in their bodies? Why? There's a scriptural truth and reason why they do. Will the unsaved be cast into hell in their bodies? That's a good question. Are people conscious in hell? That's another good question. Who all will be in hell? Another good question. Is the punishment forever? Some don't seem to think so. Will God, who is a God of love, send men to hell? Will he? Huh? How can a sinner escape hell? Now there's 10 questions. I hope I'll be able to get them pretty much answered, not spend too much time on all of them, but much time on the particular ones. But let's read the portion of Scripture that we have turned to in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And I want you to notice the setting, and I want you to notice the words that denotes the fact that it is a true story. There was a certain rich man. That means a certain rich man. It doesn't say and there was a parable of a rich man. There was a certain rich man. A definite rich man. A certain man that lived. And it says, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, he lived it up in material things. And there was a certain beggar. And his name was Lazarus. They didn't give us the name of the rich man, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs. And I would like to believe that the crumbs here means the leftovers. I imagine the leftovers from a rich man's table was a lot better than crumbs. Was desiring to be fed with the leftovers or the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now the word Abraham's bosom is a synonymous term meaning the same thing of paradise. It's where all the Old Testament saints, spirits, and souls went until the resurrection of Christ. And that's what is meant by Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, or in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, and I want you to note the statement, being in torments, plural. Do you notice that word? Torments. That means there's more kinds of torments than just one in hell. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, that is in the paradise. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. What? Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, notice the word remember, in the past lifetime, receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil or the meager things. But now he is comforted. Note that statement. And thou art tormented. These are two men on the other side of death. And one is comforted and the other is tormented. Sounds like they know what's going on, don't they? Then he's, verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place. I want you to get that. This place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. And I'd like to believe what he meant there was the writings of Moses and the prophets, which was the Old Testament scriptures. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now this man knew what repentance was, but it was too late for him. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, the first question is there a hell? Yes, there are. We've seen that from the scripture. Is it a real place? Look at verse 28 again. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell is a place of torment of human spirits. There's nobody in hell in their bodies yet. We'll deal with that a little further in the message. All right? The next question is, where is hell? That's a good question. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. All of you are acquainted with Jonah and the whale. In verse 40 of Matthew 12 says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Now note something. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, if you notice, it didn't say his body. It said the Son of Man, that's his person. His body lay in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord Jesus was not in that body. He was in paradise. In the heart of the earth. You hold your place in Luke chapter 16, because we're going to be jumping from back and forth to it. Go with me to the fourth chapter of Ephesians that ties in with this same statement that we just read in Matthew 12:40. He says in verse 8, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. That is, he freed them and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, I brought a brawl along tonight, and I want to illustrate something. Wherever I put this pencil or pen on any part of the surface of that ball, where would be the lowest part? Anywhere around that ball, where would be the lowest part? It'd have to be the middle in the heart of it, wouldn't it? Matthew 12:40 says, as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the bellies of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. We all believe, I hope you believe, my step-grandfather believed the world was flat. He believed he put his head beside the wall of the world. I said, Uncle Bud, I never did call him Grandpa. I said, Uncle Bud, you're crazy. I told him that before I was saved. The world is round. The earth is round. How many of you remember looking on your TV when the first astronaut stepped off on the moon and they stowed the cameras back and showed the earth, that round ball out there in space where you and I are now? That was amazing. I saw that. So anywhere you put this pen on the surface of this round ball, the lowest point would be the heart of it. Now that's what the Bible says and where the Bible says hell is, in the heart of this earth. Peter says it's reserved in fire until the day of judgment. God destroyed the world one time, by water. Never again will he do it by water. The next time it's going to be consuming it by fire. This earth is going to be burned up. The elements will burn up. But you see, this teaching is not being taught much today. Not even in our assemblies. The people say you'll scare them away. You better preach it. And they better believe it, because it's going to really take place. Now, hell is in the heart of this earth. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to the thief on the cross that day? When he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now the Lord went to paradise before the thief did, because the Lord died before those two thieves did. They break the legs of the two thieves, but they didn't break his legs, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But they did pierce his side to fulfill another scripture. Those soldiers didn't know they were fulfilling scripture, but they were. And the Lord Jesus gave up his spirit of his own power. John 10 says, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He deliberately, get this, on the cross, when sin had been paid for, when sin's debt had been fully paid, as we sang in the little chorus, when sin's debt had been fully paid, he said, it's finished. Not only was his death, that the end of his death, I mean his life here was finished, but the main thing was finished. God's salvation had been brought to mankind. The sin debt, listen to me, the sin debt had been completely and fully satisfied to God and been put away and glorified, and God's glorified with it, and every human being can be saved through that death of that man. And that's why those who reject him will go to hell, as sure as their name is what it is. All right? That thief later came to paradise with Jesus. All right? Let's go on further now. We know, I don't want to spend too much time in too many details here, because I'm pretty sure you Christians will know a great deal about this. We found in this chapter of Luke, chapter 16, we'll go back there now. We found here that there are two departments or two sections to the place called Hades. This place is called Hades in the Greek word. We use it in the English as the word hell. But the real meaning of the word hell is Gehenna, which is referring to the lake of fire, of which there's no one in that place yet. The first two people that will be cast in that fire, place, the lake of fire, alive, is the beast and the false prophet. All right? When Christ rose from the dead, he removed paradise and all those saints to heaven. I won't turn to it, but you can jot it down in your Bible or your notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, I don't know whether I was in my body or whether I was out of it. Most Bible scholars believe when Paul was stoned and left for dead, that he actually died. Some believe he actually died. At least he was left for dead. And he was caught up into paradise, it says. He first says he was caught up into the third heaven. That's where God is. And then it says a little further in the chapter, he was caught up into paradise. He actually went into paradise, and Paul must have seen all those Old Testament saints. And no wonder that when he came back to earth, or came back alive into his body, that he said, of such a one will I glory, that I take pleasure in infirmities. And from that time on, he said he longed to go home and be with Christ, which was far better. Paul was looking forward of dying or the Lord's coming at any time, and wanted to go. All right? That's where paradise is now. Now, hold your place in Luke and go with me to Matthew. Let me put this back here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. I want you to see something that is amazing and yet so enlightening. It says in verse 34, this is the judgment of the nations. When Jesus is now on the earth, he's come back to the earth with all of his saints, and he's judging the nations, the living nations. And those living nations are made up of three classes of people: the sheep nations, the goat nations, and my brethren Israel. And that's what he's doing now. He's judging the nations. And he said in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, which he's speaking to the sheep nations, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now that was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, for the sheep nation, the saved people. Now go to verse 41 and listen to this. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, that's the goat nations, that's the unsaved people that's standing before him in judgment at the end of the tribulation period. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And note something, prepared for the devil and his angels, and it didn't say it was prepared from the foundation of the world. Did you know God never intended for the man to go to hell? Hell was not prepared for man. It says here it was prepared for the devil. And it must be that sometime after Satan had fell, and a third of the angels with him, that God has prepared this place or yet to be prepared. I don't know. But it says it's prepared for the devil and his angels, so it must be already prepared. And there's no one in the lake of fire now. And there's no one in the torment side of Hades in their bodies. Their soul and spirits are there, but their bodies are buried in the grave or burned to ashes and blown to the wind or to the sea, whatever. Now, so we see then that this place is prepared. Now let's move on very fast here. This, as I said in the beginning, going back to Luke, nowhere in the Bible, in this chapter, does it say that this is a parable. The Lord Jesus never used names such as Lazarus, Abraham, Moses, the prophets, the rich man in his father's house and his brethren. These are all people that we know about in the Bible. Moses and the prophets, Lazarus and Abraham, and so on. The rich man and Lazarus are two men who actually lived on this earth, possibly sometime before the death of Christ. They both died. They both went to this place, Hades, one side torment and one side paradise. Did you know the rich man is still in that place tonight? And all the unsaved are there tonight? You know, you see, the devil through religion today and through preachers has tried to camouflage the reality and the facts of the other world, the other side, and tried to make it a vague blank to people to can keep from disturbing them. But hell is real. Heaven is real. The paradise, as I said a while ago, was moved to heaven. Now we come to another question. Is there real fire in hell? Look at our chapter again and look at verse 24. Look what it says. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, I've got some Bible scholars that I've heard of that wants to say that this is not real, that this is symbolic. We've already read to you from Matthew 25:41, that the goat nations were cast into everlasting fire. Fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, I know they want to get into Greek and they want to twist it here and say it here. But I believe these men who translated the Greek language into the English language and gave us our Bible in our tongue knew more about it than a lot of these so-called expert jerks knows today. Huh? Don't you think so, Brother Curtis? And I believe when they said that it was fire, I believe that the Greek word meant fire. And I'm going to take their word for it because I don't know Greek. And I'm going to preach it like it is in this book. This Bible, this English Bible. All right? We know that it says in that verse 41 describes the kind of place of it is that it's a place of eternal fire. And then in verse 46 of Matthew 25, it tells that the occupants are punished with everlasting punishment. You see, the fire is not only the thing that's going to be part of the punishment, but we're going to get into that more as we go along. Then we come to another question. When do men go to hell? Well, it says here, the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. In torment he lifted up his eyes. He could see. He was immediately at death. And let me emphasize something too. The same thing that we emphasized when I preached the funeral before I came down here, one of my closest Christian friends that got saved the same week I did, Odell Bragg. And it was a joy to preach that man's funeral because he had requested that I would help in doing it. And I emphasized that his body was laying in the casket before the front of the chapel of the church. But I said, Odell is not here. On Easter Sunday morning, 11:45, they had laid his little great-grandbaby, which was about 2-3 weeks old, down beside of him, and he smiled and rubbed his little bald head, they said. And they took a picture of it, and they picked the baby up and went back out of the room, the grandfather of that baby, this was his great-grandson, and they heard their dad groan and got back in there, and 5 minutes after, he was gone. Just that quick. And I said, when he groaned and drawed the last breath, the angels came. John Bramhall says it, and I agree with him, that the angels come and carry the soul of a saint to paradise when they die. He takes that soul right through the domain of Satan, the prince of the fire of the air. He bombards that devil's domain and goes right through there with victory to glory. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And so if you die before the Lord comes, he's going to take you right through safely. Nothing can touch you. All right? You go to hell immediately. Just as that saved person immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. So does the soul and spirit of a man that dies without Christ go into hell immediately. Now, why do men go to hell or this place of torment at death and then be raised and judged and then cast into the lake of fire later in their bodies? Well, there's two reasons for that. In Hebrews 9:27 says, appointed unto men once to die. Now, get this. Every unsaved person will die physically. There'll not be one that will escape death. In the 1,000 years millennial reign, when the best environment, righteousness reigning, Jesus the King on the throne, and people reigning under him, the curse lifted, no Satan to bother anybody. And I believe no doubt the demons will probably be bound with Satan. No demons to bother nobody. And if sickness pops his head, he heals it on the spot. People live to be 1,000 years old in that age, the millennial age. And yet there was going to be a multitude of people born physically to those sheep nations of Gentiles that went in and the Jewish people that were in their bodies of the remnant of Israel that went in. There's going to be a multitude of people born in those thousands. You're talking about a population explosion. There's going to be one in that age. And they have to go up to the king. They have to bow to him. Because if they don't, it says in Zechariah 14, if they don't come up to worship the king and come up to and honor and do obeisance to the king, God, the Lord, won't allow no rain on their crops. It won't rain. And if sin pops up its head, it'll be as it was in the early church and in the Old Testament when Christ was on the earth, or in the Old Testament. When a woman or a man committed adultery, they were to be stoned to death publicly. That's what the law said. Kill her. Kill it. Kill it. Publicly. Boy, if we did that now, there'd be a lot of burials, funerals around here, wouldn't they? Whew. But when sin pops its head, it'll be dealt with on the spot, just like Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and they died in their shoes. I tell you right now, if people die because of lying, there'd be a lot of dead people too, wouldn't they? All right? When do they go to this? Why do they go to this place? The first reason is they must die. All people must die, and that they haven't all died yet. The next statement in that verse of Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. God has appointed a day of judgment. He's appointed the day, and He's appointed every man that's unsaved to be there. Not all men have died yet. So in the meantime, when people die without the Lord Jesus, they go to the place of torment, waiting the resurrection, waiting the appointed day, waiting when all men have died, that is unsaved, and then God raises them from the dead, sets up His great white throne, and He judges them according to what they've done in their body, and they are in their bodies, and they are cast alive in the lake of fire forever. I will ask you something. Do you believe that? I've had people to tell me that who said they were Christians. I just don't know, Brother Hubert. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Don't tell me you don't know when it's plain as ABC in your Bible. The whole thing, I think, is the bottom line is, or the last word is, that they don't believe the Bible. I believe it. So that's the reason why they go to that place now. Well, will the unsaved be in their bodies? In the lake of fire eventually? Go with me to chapter 10. And it's verse 28 that I want instead of the 28th chapter. Chapter 10, verse 28. I read this to a person some time ago. And he said, you know, Mr. Smith, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I said, have you ever read the book of Matthew? He said, well, don't recall that I have. I said, that's why you didn't know it's in the Bible. You never read it. That stands to reason, isn't it? People say, well, I don't believe that's in the Bible. Well, have you read the Bible? Well, no, not exactly. Well, that's why you don't know. That's why you should read the Word of God. That's why you should read the Bible. Look at Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this word hell here means Gehenna, the lake of fire. That's the final place of the unsaved. Yes, they will be in their bodies. The first people that goes into hell in the Gehenna or the lake of fire alive is the beast, or sometimes referred to as the Antichrist, and the false prophet. These two men, alive, some have said they're so ungodly and so wicked that God didn't bother about judging them, He just cast them into hell, alive. 1,000 years later, Revelation 19:20 tells you when they were cast in. Now, Revelation 20 and verse 10 is 1,000 years later when the devil is cast in the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are still there in their body. And I want to tell you something. Not even a hair on their head has been singed. Not even the smell of smoke on their body. They haven't burned up and they never will. Now you say, well, is the fire in hell like the fire we know? I'm going to give you an honest answer. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe that it is something more severe than anything else I know. Especially more severe than the fire we know here. Now we know that the fire will burn these bodies to ashes. John Bramhall and I were talking about this a few weeks ago. I said, Brother John, don't you believe as God is going to fit our bodies, the saints, for heaven and for space, glorified space bodies. That's right. You can call it that if you want to. Spiritual bodies, but literally flesh and bone bodies like the bodies of the Lord Jesus. Of the body of the Lord Jesus. And our bodies are going to be like His. When God raises the unsaved dead in their bodies, I believe there will be a certain, some kind of a change made that they'll be fitted for eternal punishment without being annihilated or consumed. My. You say, Mr. Smith, will a God like that send men to hell? He sure will. Why? After they refuse to accept Him as their Savior, God has no other alternative but to send them to hell. You see, unsaved friend, if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you went to heaven in your sins, you'd be miserable. You know why? You'd be out of place. You couldn't be up there happy at all. That's why God has to do away with your sins, forgive you of them, blot them out. His Son paid the debt for them. He suffered for them. And only once has He suffered for sins. And He's put those sins away. And He wants you to believe that He's done that for you and accept His Son. And then when you do, you're saved. And then when He comes, He's going to change this sinful body to a glorified, sinless body, a deathless body, a sickless body, a body that will never get old, never get wrinkled, never have to wear bifocals, never have to walk, have false teeth, never have to have a plastic hip and a steel ball in your right hip or any other joint of the body. Going to be bodies like His. And the unsaved is going to have a body fitted for destruction. In their bodies. Who all will be in hell? The devil will be there. The fallen angels will be there. All the demons will be there. All unsaved people will be there. Some of the best people you probably know are clean and moral and upright. Excuse me, as far as morals is concerned. But they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It says the unbelieving in Revelation 21:8. The unbelieving will be there. The adulteress will be there. The murderer will be there. The liar will be there. It says they will all have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Think of it. They'll all be there. You'll be there with every scum of the earth, every ungodly wicked. They'll be there with wicked Hitler, Mussolini, and all the others who have died without Jesus Christ. They'll be there with wicked Cain. Think of it. The Pharaohs of Egypt and the Herods of the days of the Lord Jesus. Even old Agrippa said, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." He failed to get in. He's there. Think of it. I'm glad I'm not going. You know why I'm not going? It's not because that I just don't deserve to go. I'm so glad that God didn't give me what I deserved. I'm glad He gave me what I didn't deserve, and that was mercy. And He gave me grace. He loved me, you see, so much that out of His love came His mercy, and out of His love came His grace, and out of His love came forgiveness, and out of His love came righteousness, out of His love came life eternal, and I'm not going to hell, hallelujah. You know why? Because He saved me from it. Some said, "Well, Mother Smith, why in the world you want to talk about being saved from hell? Why don't you talk about being saved to heaven? It's more blessed to talk about what you're saved to." I grant you it is. But listen, you've got to get people woke up to the fact that they're going to be saved from something and to something. And saved from hell and saved to heaven. And if you don't trust Christ, you'll certainly go. Let me run down right quick in this chapter in closing. Is man conscious in hell? Look at verse 23. It says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." You mean he? If a man can't be in torments if he's not conscious of it, can a man see in hell? Verse 24 says, "And seeth Abraham afar off." He cried in hell. Look at verse 24. "And he cried and said, Father, have mercy on me." He prayed for mercy in that same verse. He cried and prayed for mercy, but none. And I want you to note something else now. It says in verse 24, he desired some water. And I brought a little cup of water out here tonight. I want you to see this cup of water. It says, I want you to send Lazarus and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. But you say, wait a minute, Mr. Smith, didn't you just say a while ago that they weren't there in their bodies in the torment? That's right, I did. And that's true. But all the senses and the neck, all your five or six senses, whatever they are all there. They tell me that people who have a leg removed or arm removed, that they can feel their toes though they're not there at times. The nerve ends. And that man was so tormented that he was thinking about his tongue that was so dry. Desired water. I want you to know something. I can dip the tip of my finger in that water. I want you to look at something. Only one drop will eventually fall off. It says, tip of his finger and water and cool my tongue. Just one drop. You say, Mr. Smith, are you that foolish to believe that that's so detailed? I'm not foolish, my friend. I believe it's Bible. Don't call me foolish. I'm wise enough to believe it's true. All right? Note something else. It says in verse 25, and Abraham said, son, remember. One of the torments of hell is going to be memory. Now in thy lifetime, he takes him back to his life on earth. You remember your life on earth? You remember what you did? You remember how you lived? You lived without God. You died without God. All the memories. And I believe, unsafe friend, if you're here tonight, I believe if you go to hell, you're going to remember this message tonight. You're going to remember the times that you could have been saved. You're going to remember the time, the tug and the pulling of the Holy Spirit that wooed you and wanted you to trust Christ, but you said no. You backed away. You substituted church membership. You substituted a good life. But you knew down in your heart you weren't right with God. And the devil has tried to deceive you to make you think you're okay by these things. What a terrible thing it is to remember. You know something? I'm glad that God doesn't remember my sins no more. He says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10:17. He said he's put our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's put our sins in the depths of the deepest sea. He's put them behind our back. You know why he can do that? It's because his son so glorified him and so paid the debt in full that God was delighted and said, son, I'll save everyone that'll believe on you and cleanse them from their sins and take them to heaven because you have satisfied me by your death and paid the debt in full. Who, isn't that wonderful? That's the good news of the gospel. I'm so glad it is. If you notice in verse 28, he was deeply concerned about his five brethren in the flesh. The people in hell don't want nobody else to come there. I've heard people say, if I go to hell, I'm going to have plenty of company. You sure are. But you're not going to be occupied with your company. You're going to be occupied with your misery and your suffering and your memory. I believe this. I believe that the unsaved will be in hell with their bodies, with all the desires of the lustful desires of the sinful nature. On this earth, they had things to fulfill those desires and satisfy them momentarily. But there they'll have the desires with no way to fulfill them. My. And something else, there won't be none of this there. Water. Something else, there won't be none of these there, even if there are false. Is them false or real? Yeah, oh, they're hypocrites. There won't be no flowers in hell. There won't be no rock and roll in hell. I like what a dear brother said in our meeting the other week. Brother Jim Barkley came down from Michigan. A very gospel, a good, wonderful gospel preacher, Brother Curtis. I wish you could hear him. He and I get together and we exchange some of our sermons. And he takes some of mine and I take some of his. He said, you know, the rock and roll that I believe in. And he said, I really believe in rock and roll. And boy, he had everybody perked up in the meeting what he was going to say next. He said, the rock that I believe in is the Christ Jesus, and I'm on it. On that rock. And he said, the role that I believe in is my name is up there in the book. Here I am getting my sermon wet. Rock and roll. On the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in that book. On the roll. Don't you agree with him? I said, Jim Barker, you are sight. I like that. Do you mind if I use it? He said, preach it, boy, preach it. I said, okay, I sure will. All those that are in hell, one time, did you know that one time God loved them? That one time that God loved those souls that are in hell, but now they're out of reach of His love. They are beyond God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. But you say, will God send, a loving God send people to hell? Yes, He will. After they have rejected His only begotten Son. You know, that's one of the greatest facts against the limited atonement that I know of. Why would God send men to hell and punish them, let them be born in this earth, knowing that they were predestined by Him to go to hell? And to me, that would be unjust on God's side, on His side. Why would God send them to hell, and why would He punish them, knowing that they couldn't be saved at all? That don't sound fair, does it? The reason He's going to punish them is because they could have been saved and they rejected the only way, and God's going to make every knee get down and say, Jesus is Lord. Confess His Son. He is Lord. We sang it several times this past week. And God's going to make every human being, every Christ rejecter, say that He's Lord. Yes, God will send you to hell. You know, today, we do not hesitate to put sick people in hospitals, do we? We don't hesitate to put criminals in prison, do we? We don't hesitate to put insane people in institutions, even if it's our loved ones. We don't hesitate to put dead bodies, even of our loved ones, in graves. You know why? It's not because... And there's no indication here that we don't love them, because we do this. Now, God loved those souls that's in hell tonight. He loved them one time, but they spurned it and said no. It's too late now. Listen, you have a responsibility, my friend, tonight, of what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. What will you do with Him?